You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're living in a very interesting time period, historically, for Klal Yisrael. And it just so happens, nothing just so happens, in the midst of all of our tumult that's taking place, we have last week Parshas Bahalaischa, but Klal Yisrael going to war against our adversaries. And this week we have Parsha Shalach, the Parsha of the Meraglim, where Klal Yisrael at that time were preparing to be involved in the war of the mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, which is a mitzvah deraisa that Klal Yisrael had to perform when it comes to their gaining entry into Eretz Yisrael, to inheriting Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Parshios, especially today's Parsha, which deals with our relationship to Eretz Yisrael on a military level, has relevance as well to the events taking place in the world at large and to what's happening specifically in Eretz Yisrael and its battle with Iran at this moment in time. So listen very carefully as I build the entire picture in front of you and give you resources and makaris to understand what is happening, what should be happening, and the mitzvah with Hashem's help, what will happen at the end. So sit back and listen very carefully because I want to leave you with tremendous bitachon and hope as we finish the analysis of this topic. I want to start off that the historical narrative in the beginning of this parsha, Parshas Shalach, deals with the theme where Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shalach lecha anoshim, I want you to send out a contingent of men, Yisu Eretz Kanan, they're going to literally do a spy mission on Eretz Canaan, Ashini knows some of the Esau, which I'm ultimately going to give to the Jewish people. I want them to do this reconnaissance mission to look and see what's before them, to prepare for the ultimate battle that's going to take place, the mitzvah kibush Eretz Israel. I'm giving this to Klal Yisrael as the promise that I made. And I want, therefore, all the people involved in this mission, Ish Echad, L'mate, Yavosef, Tishloch, L'nosi, Behem, I want some of the elite of each and every Shevet to participate in this reconnaissance mission. All of them should see what's going on, should have the cheshbonos made of what we have to do to prepare ourselves to successfully conquer Eretz Yisrael, the way Hashem gave us the mitzvah to do such. Harashtem aris v'yashavtem bo, the mitzvah say in the Torah, in Parshas Maaseh, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, you should inherit the land and dwell therein. So this reconnaissance mission is going to be done for that specific purpose. The Torah lists all the names of the different Asim from the different Shvatim that are going to participate. And Moshe gives instructions. Moshe later on says, Vayishach asa Moshe l'sur Eretz Kanan. Hashem therefore told Moshe, start this mission. Moshe therefore said to the people participating, Vayom aleim, Aluza Benegev, I want you to enter Eretz Yisrael from the southern sector and go quite obviously to the north. And what should you do when you're there? Re'isem es Eretz Mahi, look at the land, exactly what's the terrain over there. Ha'ama Yoshev Aleha, what is the stature, the military stature of the people who are inhabiting Eretz Yisrael at this point in time? Ha'chazeku Varafe, are they strong? Are they weak militarily? Amatu Rav, are there a few people living there? Or are there major, major crowds of people living there? Umaaretz Asha Yosheba. And what is the nature of the land that they're inhabiting at this point in time? Atovihi Mara, is it good land? Is it bad land? And what is the quality of the agricultural production and the environment of the land in which people are living? What is the nature of the cities? Are they walled cities? Are they open cities? Is the land, when it comes to quality of agricultural production, is it geschmack? Is it fat? Is it going to produce a lot? Or the agricultural produce is a meager phenomenon there? Are there trees with fruits? And what I want you to do is bring back samples. Samples of the fruits and the beautiful stuff that's growing there to see the type of vegetation that's going to support us in the future. And after this mission was given, Ayalov Yisraelitz, they went out and they basically did the tour of all of these specific areas looking for what Moshe told them to look at, to record the information. They also took samples of fruits, which they brought back to the encampment of the Jews upon completing their trip. This was a trip that quite obviously took 40 days to accomplish, and they brought back a very, very thorough report concerning exactly what they saw. So the first question you got to ask yourself when you see all of this, are we, according to the halachas of the Torah, supposed to do a reconnaissance mission before we involve ourselves in a melchama, that's a melchames mitzvah, a melchama that Hashem already told us we're going to have in order to capture Eretz Israel? Are we supposed to set up a preliminary reconnaissance mission to see what has to take place, to prepare ourselves? Is that a mitzvah min haTorah to do? And there is a big question, a big debate amongst many of the mefarshim, whether they should have just trusted in Hashem, or perhaps not gone, and just gone in, and have bitoch and emunah. Is that what has to be done? And therefore, by asking to be sent in a reconnaissance mission, they were violating the ratzon Hashem, lack emunah bitochan, or are you mitzuva to do a reconnaissance mission before you partake in any type of mechames mitzvah? Even if Hashem commands you to do this mechames mitzvah, you still have to have a reconnaissance mission beforehand. And the Rishon I want to deal with today, who deals with this topic in particular, is Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher, who was a disciple of a disciple of the Ramban. But the Ramban is very similar in his approach as well, but Rabbeinu Bachya is very marach on this. And Rabbi Bachya says in his Hagdama, the Pasha Shalach, that whether or not we are required, according to Halacha, when it comes to performing the Mechames Mitzvah Harishena of the conquering of Eretz Israel, and therefore, once we conquer it, to apportion the land amongst all the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael, to live there, to dwell there, as part of the Mitzvah Say of Yishev Eretz Israel, are we required in this Milchemes Mitzvah to do preparations of a reconnaissance mission, which most other nations who are not Klais will probably do before the involvement of any type of war? Are we, since we're Mitzvah Min HaTorah, to perform this Milchama as the Mitzvah Seh Min HaTorah, as the Ramban enumerates this in the Sefer Mitzvahs, are we, in fact, Mechuyiv to do a reconnaissance mission like other nations do, before we basically set our army up and get involved in the actual battle for the kibush of Eretz Israel? The answer that Rabbeinu Bachya says, he says, is based upon the pasuk in Mishlei, where the pasuk says, "Sus muchan liyam hamilchama." When you're about to partake of a battle, you have to prepare your horses for the day of the war. L'Hashem atchua, but the ultimate success in the war is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does this pasuk teach us? What does this pasuk mean? And what I'm going to be quoting to you now is the halachic and hashkafic analysis of this pasuk mentioned by Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher, one of the great Rishonim, who has a beautiful parish on the Torah called Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher. So listen to what he says to answer this question. He points out what Shlomo Melech mentioned in this pasuk in Mishlei, "Sus Muchlim Mechama LaHashem Atshua," that there's a major hashkafic requirement that we have to abide by as human beings living in Hashem's world. Hashem, since we're human beings, wanted us to live b'derech hateva, according to natural law, conduct our lives according to the mandates of natural law. Since we're human beings, we are subject to the restrictions of the natural law in which we live. And if that's the case, when we eat and drink, we have to eat according to what natural law says is healthy and beneficial to our body. When we take medicines, we have to cure disease by using all the medicinal things that are available at that time to make sure that if you're sick and you're diagnosed with a certain disease, if you need a certain medicine, a certain operation, you have to b'derech hateva get the best medicine, the best surgeon that's needed in order to perform the operation. All b'derech hateva. And he says, therefore, when it comes to performing a milchemes mitzvah, like the mitzvah aseh of kibush Eretz Israel and dwelling therein, harashtem aretz v'yishavtem ba, there's no question, according to halacha, that before you undertake the war and send your troops out into the field to fight the battle, b'derech hateva, according to natural law, you are mechuyev to do a reconnaissance mission to see exactly the phenomenon that Moshe pointed out when he gave direction to Klal Yisrael to go on this mission. Once again, if you remember what he told them to do, he was very careful in much of the instructions to pay attention to various types of military concerns. He wanted to know, when you're basically going out to do this reconnaissance mission, we want to know certain things. We want to know very specifically, what is the stature of the people who are living there now? What is the stature of the Canaanites? Are they strong in the military capacities? Are they weak? Is there a lot of inhabitants living in Eretz Israel, or perhaps not that many? When it comes to the cities that are in existence there, are they open wall cities, or do they have tremendous fortifications? I mean, this is all military phenomenon that you have to know to figure out the strategy how to capture Israel itself. And therefore, one of the major components of Moshe's instructions is a military reconnaissance mission, without a question whatsoever. What is fascinating is, besides that specific concept of a military reconnaissance, he says, by the way, since Hashem said this is an Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Devash, when you're walking through the actual area that you're going to be doing a reconnaissance on, look at the phenomenon of the agricultural quality of the crops that are growing there. What's the nature of the vegetation? Is the land look as land that is capable of producing very, very well produced crops? Shmeina, fat crops that are literally going to be tremendously healthy, fruits and vegetables that are going to grow there with tremendous power of healthy production food for our survival. What's the nature when it comes to the actual fruit itself, besides the quality of the land? Let me see the actual samples of fruits. What are we going to be eating? Let people see that this is really an Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Devash. But the basic purpose of the mission, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, was military reconnaissance. It's based upon the pasuk in Mishlei, before you prepare for battle, sus mucha l'yom ha-mechama, prepare your horses for the battle. In the time of the Tanakh, the actual army that had a bigger cavalry, more horses, more chariots, usually ended up being more successful in their battles than those that only had foot soldiers. So if Hashem says, if you're going to go out to war, make sure you have enough horses, enough chariots, enough weaponry to overpower and defeat your enemy, make sure you have the resources to accomplish that b'derech hateva before you undertake any type of military mission. And once you've come to the conclusion on a military level that you have all the types of weapons you need and the ammunition and the force and the power of your army, navy, marines, whatever is your army's composite, air force, you go out to battle with strategy, doing reconnaissance before you start the battle is something that's classical in any military conflict that takes place in the world for thousands and thousands of years, especially when it comes to modern military engagements. Today we have so many different ways of doing reconnaissance, not only people going onto the ground, which we still do. We have satellite images, all different types of ways of trying to gauge and basically come to a conclusion how to go into the land we're trying to capture, how the battle is going to take place, how we position our troops, what type of weaponry is going to be used to try to be successful in the mission and to minimize as much as possible any, God forbid, destruction of parts of our army or Navy, Marines, or Air Force, to try to minimize any types of casualties by doing it in the most sophisticated and smart format of war confrontation. That's our mandate. That's our mandate, B'derech HaTeva. That's what the Pasuk and Mishlei said. That's what Shlomo HaMelech basically told us to do. And therefore, after he mentions all of that, he therefore says that therefore when Halacha L'masa, Moshe sent these specific spies to spy out the land to do the reconnaissance mission, this is based upon the concept of B'derech HaTeva, you must have a reconnaissance mission to prepare for warfare. Halacha, you're mechuyev to do such, it wasn't just a reshus, it was a chiyuv. And that's why later on, despite what happened in this mission, when later on Klal Yisrael finally came to the edge of Eretz Canaan in the time of Yeshua, over 40 years later on, one of the first things Yeshua did before Klal Yisrael entered to capture Eretz Canaan, despite the divine promises of Hashem that he's going to accompany us and let us be successful in our kibush of Eretz Israel, despite the divine promise, he sent Meraglim once again to check out what's going on there and to bring back information of what is the situation in Eretz Israel, the cities we're going to confront, the people, what's the attitude of the people towards the potential invasion of the Jews, because they knew, because the Torah announced, and they knew that Jews are coming out to Eretz Canaan to capture Eretz Israel in the Milchemes HaMitzvah. Are they afraid of us? Are they basically fearless? You know, what is their attitude towards the Jews conquering them? Do they still remember the miracles the Jews had for the last 40 years, from Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Suf, the miracles in the Midbar? Do they still remember that? Are they still fearing the power not only of the Jews, but the God of the Jews? They had to do a reconnaissance mission. They did it. They came back to Yeshua. And after the information was given to him, the beginning of the war took place at the time of Yeshua. So therefore, in my first questions that I pose, is there a mitzvah, min haTorah, to do a reconnaissance mission for preparation for war, even in Olmechemes Mitzvah that we're mechuyev to do? The answer is, according to Rebbe Bachya ben Osher, many other Rishonim, 100% yes. You're mechuyev to do such. And therefore, the instructions that were given by Moshe were basically the Ratzon Hashem to let Klal Yisrael see what they're going to be confronting militarily. And as an aside, since you're in the land anyway, look how beautiful and magnificent the Erez of Askelav Devash is. And in fact, bring back some samples so people can see how healthy we're going to be based upon the fruit that's growing there to realize Hashem promised us an Erez of Askelav Devash, and he's going to be delivering us such a land based upon the samples brought back of the food that they were able to detach and bring back with them to the camp of Klal Yisrael, encamping and preparing themselves for this military encounter. So this is the answer to the first question I pose, and the answer in the affirmative, the answer is 100% yes, this was a Mechemetz Mitzvah that had to have this mission take place. Fine. Once we come to that specific conclusion, so now we come to the next question. And the question is, when the actual Meraglim came back and they were supposed to give us a report of what they saw, so the Torah records the report they gave us, which is quite fascinating. After 40 days of this specific mission, they came back to Klal Yisrael. And as I mentioned before, before talking about the military conquest, Vayarim is Pi'aretz, they showed them, look at the fruits. Look at the magnificent fruits we're going to be eating over there. And then they say further, Banul Eretz, V'gam Zavas Chalov Davashi, we admit it's flowing with milk and honey. So when God said that's the nature of the land, 100% correct. But they then come to the next part. Ephes. However, when it comes to the military reconnaissance, ki az ama yeshiba, the people who are living there are very strong and powerful. Powerful armies. Ha'arim b'tzuras g'daylas miyod. They all live in fortified cities that are impenetrable. Yilidanik ringasham, there are giants in the enemy camp. Klal Yisrael faced giants through the history. Later on, David encountered Goliath. So there are giants that are living there. Amalek's there. Our adversary Amalek, we already experienced at the end of Parshas Bishalach, are likewise living there, and other nations that the Torah delineates. And quite obviously, what they were trying to do is say in this statement that when it comes to the reconnaissance mission, it's not as good as the description of the Erez of Ashkelova Davash. We're facing a situation which makes our ability to conquer Eretz Canaan almost an impossibility. It's mighty, mighty warriors who are living there. Even people who are giants. B'derech HaTeva, this war is going to be very difficult to conduct, maybe even impossible. And the cities we're going to conquer, all the cities are fortified cities. How are we going to break down the fortifications to get into the cities, to conquer them? Some of our adversaries of the past who hate us, who tried to destroy us in the Midbar, their relatives are living there as well. And therefore, the impression they wanted to give Klal Yisrael is that this is a mission impossible. And if that's the case, how in the world should we continue the trek for the purposes of Kibush Eretz Israel? They even though, and in fact, as they basically continued in their discussion, they actually inferred that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has performed miracles for us up until this point in time, and did miraculous things for us. After all, the Makkas of Mitzrayim were miracles l'mayla miderech hateva. Kriyas Yamsu were miracles l'mayla miderech hateva. The Mon coming from Shemayim in the Midbar, and the watery well that went with them wherever they traveled, the Ber Miriam, Anani HaKavait. I mean, they were experiencing ongoing miracles, one after another, l'mayla miderech hateva. And later on, their experience, ultimately speaking, at Har Sinai, meeting with Hashem and seeing miracles l'mayla miderech hateva, and Hashem addressing them, as I mentioned in one of my earlier shurim on Nevuah, the Klais, I heard Hashem speak to them directly, panim el panim, and saw a miraculous phenomenon taking place at Har Sinai. People were able to see what you normally can only hear. The heard things probably couldn't see. Everybody was misraper from their cholev, from their sickness. As they stood at Har Sinai, so everybody can see and hear, they were experiencing continuous miracles. And despite all of that, when it came to capturing Eretz Israel, they gave a report that literally caused the heart of Klal Yisrael to sink, to be full of fear. And therefore, they said, Lo nucha lalos ama, we cannot conquer this people. Ki chazak hu mimenu. Not only are they stronger than us, they're stronger, chas v'shalom, as the Gemara says in Sota, even more powerful than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even God, no matter how much the miraculous feats he performed from us up in this point in time, this land can't even be conquered by the Rabbi Nishalom. When they said that, the terrible, terrible chet of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu took place. Not only did they question their abilities to fight the war, but they questioned the omnipotence, the all-powerfulness of the Rabbeinu Shalom that they already experienced for a long period of time. And they questioned whether Hashem himself, even if he's fighting with us, can orchestrate the capture, the destruction, and the conquering of this country. And this was therefore the Motzi Dibor, the Lashon Hara, they said, on Hashem, on Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore they were unwilling to undertake the mission, and they started crying and protesting, maybe we should have gone back to Mitzrayim, who wants to be here, who wants to have this mission take place. Tremendous Kafiyas Tov, and tremendous lack of muni bitachon that if Hashem promises to do something for you, He will fulfill it. And they already had the experience that when He promised, He did fulfill in the past. What's going on over here that they can't believe He can do it at this point in time? And because of that rebellion of the Meraglim, Jewish history changed. Then instead of entering Eretz Yisrael immediately, they were therefore punished by Hashem. 40 days of traveling, coming back with such an evil report to break the hearts and minds of the Jews and try to make them feel that there's no way that they can accomplish this mission. It's basically useless for us even trying. It's a mission impossible. And therefore to turn their hearts against Moshe, turn their hearts even against Hashem, and question the divine powerfulness or powerfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the rebellion of the Meraglim, that Hashem punished them, that because of this you're not going to enter. Even if I would want to do the miracles, you're not deserving of them. 40 years you're going to wander in the Midbar to all the people who sinned are going to die. And only a new generation later on is going to come along who didn't sin like you. And they will then be given the mission with Hashem's help to capture Eretz Yisrael, as it happened later on when Yeshua brought the generations later on, 40 years later on, to capture Eretz Yisrael. As we know what happens in Sefer Yeshua, they captured Eretz Yisrael and did the Milchama in 7 years. They captured all of Eretz Yisrael. Another 7 years, Yeshua divided the land amongst all the Shvatim. So the divine promises Hashem had given Klal Yisrael from the very beginning, that you'll capture the land and I'm going to help you miraculously to do such. The first Milchama against the city of Yericho, where the impenetrable city with those walls, upon surrounding the city and going around a couple of times, as Hashem had told them to do, with Arnon HaKadosh, the walls collapse, Kolosser goes in and conquers that city. One miracle after the next miracle allowed them to capture Eretz Canaan in 7 years. Changes in nature when it comes to times of day, the sun shining and not shining and not going down. So a lot of miracles took place, as the Sefer Yeshua records. When Hashem promises something, He keeps His promise. The problem is not Hashem keeping the promise. The problem is us believing in Hashem that He's going to keep the promise and listen to His narratives and to His sivuyim to us. If we would listen and have emunah bitachon, and if that door would have had that emunah bitachon and said, forget about what the spy said, if Hashem says we're going to do it, we're going to do it. If they would have said that, they would have gone in 40 years earlier. Because they rebelled in the Chet HaMeraglim and they cried, they made this period a period of tremendous, tremendous destruction, not only for that time, but for all future generations. The night that they cried and Klal Yisrael believed the evil report and the destructive report of the Meraglim ended up being on the night of Tisha B'Av. And that was Koveya Tisha B'Av, as the Gemara says in Tainus, as a Zaman Paronius, a time of tragedy for generations until the end of time, to Klal Yisrael does tshuva to cause a kapara on that chet and to not have this problem in the future. So we have over here an historical event taking place where a lack of Muni Bitochan HaKadosh Baruch Hu in facilitating our kibush. The chesaron was, the pasuk says, Sus Muchim V'yam HaMelchama, we're doing the preparations, but there was a chesaron LaHashem Atshua, that Hashem could fulfill His promise and give His salvation and success in it. They didn't have belief in the second part of the pasuk. To quote another pasuk that we basically have, we daven with each and every day. One of the problems of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, quite obviously, was the fact, as the Torah says in many places, when Klal Yisrael fought wars, their hashkafa of the secularists was kochi v'osniyod osel sechayil hazeh, our koiches, our powers, our physical might, prowess, all the energies we have, our tremendous chachma allows us to perform all the activities of war and everything else. But that was the hashkaf of those who are the non-believers. What is the hashkaf of the believers? We say this each and every day in our tefillahs. It says, Eile barecha ve'eile basusim. They're those who go out and put their entire manifest when it comes to war, when it comes to the horses, when it comes to the chariots. But that's the Gaisha world. The war machine is their hope for success.
You are listening to BenStorah.com.
But for us, having Muni be talking and praying to HaKadosh Baruch and realizing La Hashem HaTshuva is the source of our success. Ki Hashem Hoshia HaMelech Yanenu B'Yom Kareinu. When we call to Hashem and pray and daven and say Tehillim, if Tzedak and Chah, we show that we have total dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have nothing to fear. This was the chet of the Meraglim. But now I want to deal with question number two of the topic. And that is, what happened to Yeshua of Akala that were part of the Meraglim? Why didn't they say the same exact thing that the other Meraglim said? They saw the cities. They saw the power of the armies that were there. They saw the size of some of these soldiers of these armies. They saw how powerful they were to prevent a war of conquest. But at the end of the day, they basically rebutted what the other Temeraglim said. If you read some of the psukim over here, once again, what was the reaction when it came to Kalev and to Yeshua? It was definitely a reaction. And listen to what, basically speaking, Kalev said to the Am. Vayas Kalev es Am, he quieted everybody down. And Kalev said to the nation, upon hearing the evil report of the Meraglim, he said to them, Alunala, we are rational, so what are you talking about? We're going to go up, we're going to conquer, we're going to inherit. Ki yachal nuchala, because we can overpower them. What are you worried about? So obviously Kalev was totally mevatel the report, the negative report that is issued by the rest of the Meraglim. Why he was able to do that, we'll see very shortly. And even when it comes to Yeshua, we read right in the Psukim over here, what does the Torah say when it comes to Kalev and Yeshua? The fact of the matter is that Yeshua, Ruach HaKeres Arimo, he had a different spirit with him. He basically rejected the assessment of the Meraglim. And both he and Kalev said the following. They said that Yeshua and Kalev, who also toured the land, when they heard what the other Meraglim said, they tore their begadim because of the blasphemy that took place. And unfortunately, they said to the rest of the Chevra, you're making a mistake. Im chafes Hashem banu, if Hashem wants to help us, heivinu asanu eretz azos, he's going to bring us into the land. Nasanu eretz, he's going to give us the land eretz of Ascha Levadash. Ach v'Hashem al timrodu, why do you rebel against Hashem? What's the matter with you? Hashem itanu, Hashem's with us. Al tiram, don't be afraid. But the nation did not listen. The nation did not listen, and the punishment to the Meraglim was meted out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point in time. What I want to share with you today is, what was the kayach of Kalev? What was the kayach of Yeshua? Because that specific battle of whether b'derech hateva we can survive and exist in Eretz Israel and conquer our enemies and literally overpower them because of the promise of Hashem that I'm giving you Eretz Israel as your homeland forever. And Ein Hashem Elokecha, as the pasuk says, Hashem watches over us in Eretz Israel with intense hashkacha pratis. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, the pasuk in Parshas Ekev, unique hashkacha pratis, as the Ramban explains in his Perish to Chumash. We're now not conquering Eretz Israel. We're now Bezman Hazel living in Eretz Israel. Kanai Nahara, over 75 years. We've been there, built a beautiful Medina. Torah is literally thriving in Eretz Israel. People learning in boys' yeshivas and women's seminaries in numbers we never saw before. Zeneres of Ascha Davash. Incredible technological advances are coming out from Eretz Israel. Not only can we see in Teitzei Torah, but all the Chachma Madas Olam,
of the science, the technologies, are coming from the Chachamim living in Eretz Israel. When Or LaGoyim in all the areas, very productive. We do more for the world based upon our small numbers than the rest of the world, who are billions and billions of people. We're able to accomplish a lot and help the world, and we've helped the world. And despite that, we still have enemies trying to destroy us and destroy our Yishuv. What are the powers of Yeshua and Kalev that they used to push away the nearsayers that says, we can't live here, we can't survive here, maybe we should go someplace else? There were nearsayers, even when it came to the entry of Eretz Yisrael in the 1948, there were those who, when it came to the debate with Herzl and others, of whether we should conquer Eretz Yisrael at that time, even though we were given a mandate to do such, but there were those who said, maybe we'll go to another country in Africa that was offered to us, Uganda and others, to build the land there, not here in Palestine. We have so many Arab opponents. At the end, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael did not listen to him, and they went into Palestine. They built the beautiful Eretz Yisrael which we have today. So what I want to analyze now for us to pinpoint at this point in time, where Klal Yisrael's Yerush and Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael is being threatened by crazy, maniacal people on the face of this earth. Anti-Semitism has spread from every corner of the earth. We were attacked on October 7th, and the whole world therefore decided to express their anti-Semitism because we're trying to defend ourselves. Craziness and mishigas of the world at large. But I want to assure you that the history that's taking place today, if you look in Tanakh, in the Sifrei HaNevi'im that discussed the Tekufa of Ikra the Mashiach, all that's happening today historically was already forecast by our Nevi'im happening. And the biggest enemy, the most threatening enemy we have today that wants to eliminate us, that Persia is going to threaten us, Paras, the Iranian entity, it's nothing new in the eyes of Chazal. Thousands of years ago, in our Midrashic literature, they said that the ultimate Gog and Magog milchama that's going to take place at the end of time, the big war at the end, will be led by Iran and all its associates, all those anti-Semites that want to join them in this milchama to try to destroy us. And knowing the psukim in Zechariah and Yechezkel, the ultimate result is Gog and Magog will be destroyed utterly. Klai shall be saved, ushering the coming of the Mashiach and the beautiful Tekufa that will come with the Mashiachias as we continue to exist b'shalva b'sheket with total freedom to be able to not have Shibat Malchias, to have the ability to learn Torah and to practice our Yiddishkeit without anybody preventing us. No more terror attacks. All the stuff we're experiencing now when Gog and Magog is over and these attacks are literally eliminated, Klaus will live the Menucha and be Tachan forever. But I want to tell you, what are the powers that we have to elicit now to accomplish this? So the answer is, the Maisa of a similar Banim, is to understand what gave Yeshua the ability to not be concerned with the threats that were promulgated by the Meraglim. What did Yeshua have that allowed him to see straight? What did Kalev have at his fingertips, allow him to see straight, that no matter how difficult the mission might be, Yochel Nochel will be able to accomplish it, nothing's going to stop us, Hashem is with us, and everything will take place the way Hashem promised. So listen to me very carefully as I basically point this out. This is a very important part of the Shia today. When it comes to the concept of the power that, qualitatively speaking, that Kalev had, Chazal tell us, as the Meraglim entered Eretz Israel, Kalev momentarily went to the city of Chevron to Mishtacheach, to bow down and to pray at the Kivrei Tzadikim in the Maris HaMachpelah, and he elicited their tefillos in Shemayim that we should succeed in our mission. So Chazal say, what was Kalev thinking about? Why go to the Avos, Keva Avos in Chevron? So the answer is, Chazal point out, that the avos over there, not only the Avei Tzadikim, Tzidkanios, are able to pray for us, but there is a haftacha that was made to the avos going back to Sefer Bereishis. The actual haftacha of the bris bein habesarim that Hashem made between the avos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu for eternity. And what Hashem said to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov, is that you, Klal Yisrael, are not like a normal nation on the face of this earth, that are totally under the supervision of the natural law limitations of the world at large. I'm guaranteeing you things that you're going to have and possess to succeed that no other nation was ever promised. Once again, this is something I've spoken about in the past, but I want to mention very quickly now. Hashem says, I'm going to be your magen. I am guaranteeing that no nation on the face of this earth, no matter who they are, will ever be able to commit total genocide against the Jewish people. They might try, but they will be destroyed. You will live on, and they will be part of the dustbin of history. You are indestructible, and thousands of years of world history demonstrated this. No matter who wanted to destroy us, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans, later on the Turks, we are still here, Chai V'Kayam, living in Eretz Israel, reestablishing our homeland, and all these other mighty nations that were world empires, as Mark Twain said in his analysis, are in the dustbins of world history, no longer alive, no longer functioning, but Klai Yisrael seems to have an indestructibility, which quite obviously he didn't know the Brisbane Abbasarim. He could understand why we're indestructible. The Brisbane Abbasarim guaranteed it. Promise number two. Ve'yosah Achutza, you're going to live and survive and conquer and accomplish Lamali Midarech HaTeva. You're not subject to natural luck other nations. Rabbi Adni Atem, being able to conquer major nations more powerful than us, even though we're small in number, maybe have less weaponry. But that's the power you're going to have. I'm guaranteeing you, Hashem said. Hashem Yolachem Mechem. I'm going to fight with you. And when you think about world history, Talmidim Talmidais, the wars we fought, which were Rabbi Adni Atem, no question, when it came to modern warfare, but even from the warfare of Bayesheni, a war against the Seleucid Greeks by Chanukah, Rabbi Adni Atem, it's the way recorded in our Tfilos, or of the Alanisim. Later on, a war against the Arab world in 1948, when it came, quite obviously speaking, to the war of our defending our new Yishuv against all the Arab armies, which were millions and millions of people. We were in the thousands. They were in the millions with the most sophisticated weaponry. And in 2 years, we did something the world couldn't believe. We defeated them. They begged for an armistice. So our existence, militarily, physically, in Gullus, even after a Holocaust, to come back and be able to have the power, which we did, to rebuild the Jewish people, to rebuild Eretz Israel, to replenish our ranks, this is Lamala Midarech HaTeva. Whether you like it or not, that's the truth. The promise of the actual eternal inheritance of Eretz Yisrael and Brisbane and Basarim, that it's a Marasha, an eternal heritage of the Jewish people to the end of time. The only thing that's an eternal heritage is Torah, both are Marashas. Hashem promised an eternal connection and homeland of Eretz Israel. Nobody can take it away from you. Even if they try, they will not succeed. And Jewish history has demonstrated this, I've spoken in the past. And ultimately, the realization, if Klal Yisrael observes Torah and Mitzvot, and we're devout, we believe, HaBitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will give us the power. Torah is Matzil Umagen. Torah protects us, Torah saves us, and that's why it's incumbent today, besides having soldiers fight the battle, but Derech HaTeva, as we say, that the people have the proper weaponry to fight. At this point, the proper planes with the most incredible capacities to fight the war with soldiers inside. But you also need the Kol HaTorah, the Kol HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael today, of all the yeshivas and seminaries, is the power behind our military power, that we should succeed, that all the other haftachos of the Bris Pein of Asarim should take place. That guarantees our indestructibility as a people. That guarantees the miracles of Allah Maila Midarech HaTeva. That guarantees that we will never, ever be able to ever be removed from Eretz Yisrael as the Golus in the past. That Torah, Kol HaTorah, is Megin or Matzil. That is empowering us to think that we should close all the yeshivas, let everybody go into the army, and forget about people learning, is a misjudgment. Is something that's not based upon historical fact, nor based upon hashkafa of the Torah and Torah Shepsav Teirah Shobapah. The Kol Torah is important. You might have Yidei Yisav fighting wars like Esav does with war, human power and might, but you need the Kol Yaakov to give it the power to accomplish that. So therefore, Kolev, when he basically was inspired to the Avais, the Haftachis of all the Bris Pein Abisarim, that he should have the power to implement them and carry out the Haftacha made to the Avos, that we're going to conquer, live in Eretz Israel. That's why he went to the Kev Avos in Hebron, to Mazgah the Schus Avos and Imos, and the Bris Pein Abisarim. That's why he was able to not look at the problems posed by the Meraglim. He didn't care how fortified the cities are. He didn't care how mighty the warriors of the Canaanites were. Hashem says, I'm going to give it to you. And the same way miracles of the past were done, l'mayla mederech hateva, the miracle of kibush eretz were done l'mayla mederech hateva, no matter what the Meraglim say, Yochel Nachal will be able to do it. Don't worry about it. And that was what empowered Kalev. When it came to Yeshua, what empowered him not to go with the other Meraglim? So there's a Medrash Chazal. Moshe changed Yeshua's name from Hoshea ben Nun to Yehoshua ben Nun. He added a Yud on. And what was the reason? So there's a Medrash Chazal, the Yud. Yud stands for Hashem. Ka, the power of Hashem, that Hashem empowered you, will save you from the evil machshavas perhaps that the Meraglim might have. Ka Yoshachem Yatzas HaMeraglim. This is what empowered Yeshua. But what does that Medrash mean? So I want to share something with you. I want you to hear very carefully because many people are not aware of this. When Hashem had the encounter take place in Parshas Bishalach, while Malak attacked Klal Yisrael in Midbar, at the end of the day, Yeshua had Tzadikim picked by him to be the soldiers fighting this war. Moshe, Aaron, and Hur would be mispalat Hashem and basically inspiring the soldiers that when they fight, they should raise the heart of Inu Shebishmaim and believe that the koyach of their warfare was based upon Hashem giving them the koyach. It wasn't just koyach yotzim yadi. When Klai says, the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, put their betochen in Hashem in Shemayim, seeing the tefillos of Moshe, Aaron, and Hur in the distance and taking a lead from them, they were not sayach the actual Amalekim. After they won that war momentarily, Hashem makes the following statement which I want to emphasize. V'yom Hashem Moshe, I want you, because of Zikaron B'Sefer, I want you to record what happened over here. And I want you to make the following statement. Yeshua should say it over as well. Ki macho emcha zecha malak mitachas Hashemayim, that your adversaries who want to destroy you as an Am Yisrael, who want to prevent you from ultimately coming into Eretz Yisrael to inherit it as Yom HaRasha forever, all the opposing forces in the world that want to oppose you, I'm going to help destroy them, eradicate. Kimoch emezecha malach mitachas ha-shamayim. And then he said, Vayoma, realize, when they're fighting you, Klal Yisrael, they're fighting me in heaven. They're rejecting the God of Klal Yisrael, the God of the world. They're trying to fight with him like Kisei HaKavod. Kiyod al keskar. Milchama l'Hashem b'mal David David. Don't worry. I'm not going any place. I'll be with you for eternity. and fight the battle together with you until you accomplish what has to be accomplished, the eradication of all your adversaries who are Sony Israel, who want to commit total genocide against the Jews. I will make sure that never happens. Not only you're going to be involved in Timcha, fighting from your perspective, Macha Emcha, I'll fight with my divine perspective, and you'll see what's going to happen since you have me helping you with miraculous activities. Nobody will ever overcome and overpower you as long as you're doing what you have to do is Meshav Alivcha Levinu Shebashamayim. Chazal tell us that when Moshe gave him the name Yehoshua, he says this comes from the word Ki Yodal Keska, that Hashem basically says, my fight is going to be expressed by my name Ka Yud Ke. Yeshua symbolizes Hashem. Ka will basically save you from Asas Marag, because he's going to fight together with you and help you, be Messiah-yayu, with the miraculous miracles of Kibush Aretz. Unfortunately, Yeshua did believe this, and that gave him the strength to oppose the Maraglim. Kalev had the Brisbane Abbasarim, and those Haftachas strengthened him. The rest of the Maraglim were not interested. The rest of Klaus were not interested in their rebuttal arguments. And for that reason, Yeshua and Kalev survived the 40 years of the death of the other Maraglim, and ultimately brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and captured Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Yeshua and Kalev. Why am I mentioning this? We're now in a very difficult period of time. People are once again threatening our existence, threatening us with genocide. It's a known fact that the reason that the Iranians want to develop an atomic bomb is because I feel that's the easiest way of shooting just a couple of missiles to cause total genocide to all the Jews, Rachmanos Shel Olam, living in Eretz Israel. That's their kavana. They're not embarrassed to say it. They aren't even afraid to even discuss that. And therefore, that's why the Prime Minister of Arizona, Tayawa, and the people that are there, no matter who they are, realize that you can't have Iran, who has no problems in shooting missiles into areas populated by men, women, and children, as they're doing now. Over 400 missiles plus drones. Nebuch, people have been killed. People have been wounded. They don't care about killing human beings, especially killing Jews. This crazy group of people, radical Muslims, who want to cause their cause of their belief in their religion to destroy Judaism, Christianity, and everybody else, and they should be the conquerors of the world, one big caliphate of the entire world run by them, these Kanaim, whatever they have to do to destroy the opposition, they're going to do. People should realize, if you're willing to shoot ballistic missiles with dynamite and other types of destructive ammunition to destroy us, if they had an atomic bomb, an atomic weapon on a rocket, a ballistic missile, they would shoot at us without even a blinking eyelid. This is the war we're fighting. But we have to strengthen ourselves like Yeshua and Kalev. And remember the promises made to them, which applies to all of Klal Yisrael. Number one, Hashem promised Klal Yisrael, if you do Torah v'mitzvahs, and we adhere to the prescription of Shmiras HaTorah v'mitzvahs, you say it every day in our Kriya Shema, in the Pashas of Kriya Shema. If you have forgotten, we say it every day. Shmai Tishma, all the brachas Hashem promised us, they're going to come true. So if that's the case, we are indestructible. And we survive L'mala Midarech HaTeva. And Eretz will always be ours, as long as we keep the Shmiras HaTorah v'mitzvahs. And Klais are slowly but surely in numbers, statistically, the majority of Eretz will be, in a couple of years, the majority will be Torah, Umitzvah, Shomer, Shabbos, Jews, and Jewesses. That's the statistics. The Jewish population of Shomer Mitzvah are growing tremendously in Eretz Israel. We're going to be the rove in a couple of years. So that's what Hashem's looking at. Torah is growing and flourishing in Eretz Israel. Because of that, we've experienced miracles since this attack took place. And what has happened to us since October 7th, the miracles that we witnessed of all the missiles that so far Iran threw at us, through them and for their proxies, who are miraculously, in many respects, eliminated, to have at one time 150 ballistic missiles shot at us, and at that specific time, within a couple of minutes, not one rocket should hurt any Jew on the face of the ground, is simply miraculous. Hashem gave us a chachma to build weaponry, the sismuchim liyom ha-melchama. Now we don't use horses. Now we use ballistic missiles, counter missiles to shoot down missiles, and other types of formats of destroying enemy missiles coming into our country, all different types of mechanisms, the arrow missiles, and this and that, the Golden Dome. We have so many different types of missile systems, missile shooting down a missile. I mean, that alone is an incredible feat. But we're witnessing these miracles take place. That's because of the importance of Torah v'mitzvahs and Torah being learned over there. And the fact that Hashem gave us the chachma in our army to be able to use the weaponry, the sismuchim l'chama today, the development of all different types of ballistic missiles and such, of anti-missile missiles that we have, and the types of planes that we have, helicopters we have, drones that we have. I was once shown one of the military airports of the Israeli army in a very hidden place. I was given a personal tour with a couple of other people. And we were shown that even when we get the most sophisticated planes from America, we then open them up and put in additional software, which the Israeli people created with their chachma, Hashem gave them, to make the planes even more accurate, more sophisticated, before we put them into action. If you want to see what that means, to send, like this past Friday night, 200 planes to attack Iran, for 200 to go and accomplish their mission, and for 200 to return, that's a miracle in its own right. This is the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Witness it, experience it, and understand it. Most of the missiles that were shot at us missed their mark because they exploded up in the heavens before they even reached the face of the earth. But we're not there yet. Unfortunately, the ultimate Nisim Galuyim on the level of nothing being, nobody being hurt, we still have to raise a little bit our Tehillim, our davening, our learning, our Shmiras Mitzvahs, to bring it to the maximum of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, as Kalev was empowered to do, and he did later on when he fought to capture Eretz Yisrael of Yeshua. When it came to Yeshua, Yeshua was taught, and his name symbolizes it, that Ki Yod Al Keska Milcham Shel Malach Davidar Macha Emcha, that when we're fighting the battle for the Yishuv of Eretz Israel, Hashem is with us. You're destroying Berderech HaTeva Sus Mucha Milchama. Hashem is going to fight the way Hashem fights. We're living in historical times now that were prophetically declared by a Chazal. The Chumash talks about it. Tanakh talks about it. Midrashi Chazal. As difficult as the period is, the world cannot believe what the Jews were able to accomplish in the last 4 or 5 days. It's amazing. The most incredible powers on the face of this earth. Listen to the military experts of America and all the major military powers. They're sitting with awe. How do the Jews do this? What's their power? What's their kayach? The answer is the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And also, Kika Al Keska, Milchama Shem Barmolo Doridor, Mocha Emche. Those promises which Yeshua represent, those promises which Kalev represent, are going to enable us to overpower and conquer this enemy. This is the Melchemes Gog and Magog, the adversary which Chazal singled out. Chafetz Chaim said, the last entity you have to conquer and deal with before Melchemes Gog and Magog is Paras and all its associates. That's what we're fighting now. That's the Melchama we're involved with. Can't give you a time frame. I'm not a Navi. I can't tell you exactly the moment, but we're in that tekufa. And therefore, we need all of Klal Yisrael to come together, no matter where you're living, in Eretz or outside Eretz Israel, and join forces in the Kol Kol Yaakov. The way that we're able to accomplish our ultimate success is when there's achdus amongst Klal Yisrael, ki ish echa b'lev echad, universally. That is the power and the fuel that allows us to succeed in accomplishing our mission in this world. Therefore, my message to everybody who's listening today is continue your tehillim, continue your tzedakah, your avas Yisrael, your love and concern. Stay together. Don't fight amongst yourselves. Show belief and bitachin in Hashem that Hashem can do whatever He promised us He can do. He did it in the past. He's doing it now in front of our eyes. And He surely is going to continue in the future until the ultimate goal takes place. Let's therefore hope and pray and be smalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu that seeing b'mishmati pada v'shaveh b'tzedakah, when Hashem sees our meticulous desire to observe His ratzon and tevra v'mitzvahs, Hashem will make sure that we are in fact indestructible. And we will fight l'malo miderech ha-teva and be able to have eretzal l'netzach nitzachim with Hashem, yilachim lechem. Hashem's going to fight with us, mocha emcha, yodol keska. At that time, Hashem's essence will be revealed to the world. It's already starting to be revealed to the world by people realizing if we're fighting a war the way we're fighting this war, rava miyad miyatim, the only answer of our success is not just our brilliance as Jews, but God behind the scenes is the one who is giving us the power, l'Hashem Atshua. Send that message out to our Jewish brethren and sisters. Realize Hashem's with us. And with the schus of Achtus, Avas Yisrael, Avas Hashem, Teire v'mitzvahs, Yachanucha will succeed. And be as Mashiach Tzidkenu.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.